with us. In case you haven't noticed, our theme is For People Like Us. Turn in your Bibles with me this morning. You may not be able to see it, but it's such a familiar passage, it won't be a problem. Matthew chapter 1. We have been studying through the gospel, the introduction to the gospel of Matthew through this Christmas season for the express purpose of understanding this whole idea that Christ came for people like us. The genealogies we saw teach us that Christ came for people like us, and the response of Joseph to the angel helps us understand that Christ came for people like us, and the response of those wise men who came from afar show us the importance of Christ coming for people like us. And in the testimonies that you've heard today, we see the value and the efficacy of Christmas, because it is at that time that Christ came to save people like us. Today on this Christmas Eve, in our final study from Matthew, we're going to conclude our study of Christmas by meditating on three of the most important words that we find in Matthew. Indeed, I think all of Scripture. These words are embedded in Matthew's recounting of the Christmas story. And I'd like to begin by reading this Christmas story and then asking for God's grace as we seek to unveil these three small but important words this morning. Matthew 1, 18 through 25 is Matthew's account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by means of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, wanted to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's ask for God's blessing on the reading of his holy word this morning. Father, we come to you this morning on this eve of Christmas, celebrating all that you have done through the sending of your son, having spent the entire month reading and singing and thinking and praising you for that great gift. Now, as we wrap this all up, I ask that you would guide our thoughts. You'd give us joy as we think and meditate on what it is indeed that Jesus Christ accomplished by becoming flesh, by God becoming one of us. So we ask that you would speak through your servant, you would speak through your spirit, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and your son is my strong redeemer. It is in the precious name of Jesus we ask these things, and on this Christmas Eve, God's people said, amen. I took a little trip to Google this week. I was kind of wondering what it was like before pastors had Google. We actually had to look up our information and find things. It's so easy now. But I wanted to see what the most popular birth names were in 2017. Didn't take long. I just Googled that in there, and the website babycenter.com had the answers based on data coming from over 500,000 parents who submitted the names that they'd given their children's their babies this year. Here's the top five girls' names. Number five, Isabella. Beautiful name. Number four, Ava. Number three, Emma. Number two, Olivia. Number one, Sophia, wisdom. Here's the boys' names. Number five, Lucas. Number four, Aiden. Number three, Noah. Number two, Liam. Number one, Jackson. They finally caught up. Parents give names to their babies for a variety of reasons, of course. Sometimes they're named after a beloved family member or a friend or a father or even a mother. Sometimes children are named after a man or a woman, maybe the parents greatly admired. For many years, as I've counseled in premarital counseling, and then just as they prepared to have their first children, I let them know that Bobby Joe was available. But nobody ever took me up on that, thankfully. But not infrequently, particularly in our circles, a child is named sometimes even after someone in the Bible. More often, however, our names are chosen simply because of the parents' love of a specific name or names. Matthew tells us that when our Savior came into the world, he received his name by command of an angel. Verse 21 says, "You shall call his name Jesus." And the reason that he named him Jesus is because that means God saves. For he will save his people from their sins. And as we read in our reading this morning, that's exactly what Joseph did. He named him Jesus. But because he was the long-awaited Messiah, the prophets had spoken of and waited for, he also had at his birth a great many titles. Well, titles are not something that we're familiar with here in America, but if we were a part of a monarchy, we would understand this. When a child is born who is in line of the king, they are born with specific titles that speak of that which will be. In the case of Jesus, he had many titles. Sometimes people ask the question, was his name Jesus or was his name and you think of these others? Well, those others were simply titles. His name was Jesus, but the rest were titles. Isaiah says he's going to be called or receive the title as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Jeremiah says that he will be called Yahweh with this, or our righteousness. And in Luke, the angels say that he would be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. All beautiful titles. But one of the most wonderful titles I think that we see is a title that we see in Matthew 1:23, which again comes from the prophet Isaiah. It says, "The virgin shall be with child, and she will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. I believe it's the most amazing, wonderful, and perfect title that there is for this newborn king. And so this morning, I just wanted to spend a few moments talking about the wonder and majesty of these three words, God with us. I'd like to take the time to ponder the meaning behind each of these words just briefly this morning. We begin with God with us. God with us. We need to understand that if Jesus were just a good man or even a great prophet, Christmas would have no lasting value. The date of his birth and his life may be memorialized in some way. There might be a historical marker somewhere that we see of great men and women who have lived. There might be monuments set up in his honor, and maybe even some books written to commemorate his accomplishments. But in the end, his life would have limited significance. The entire value, the entire meaning of Christmas, and the reason we celebrate his birth with all that we are, is because in that birth, God became a human. This is why Matthew, by means of the Spirit, goes out of his way to help us understand what this child is. When he says, this is Emmanuel, he is saying, this is God in the flesh. This is God with us. This is why the angel speaking to Mary said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will empower you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. This is why John, the disciple that Jesus loved, states, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he goes on to say, this Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace, full of truth. This is why Charles Wesley, in his beautiful Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, seeks to help us when he says, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as men with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. In the birth of Emmanuel, we see God is with us. But that is not all. We also see that God is with us. A number of years ago, Max Lucado wrote this beautiful little book entitled God Came Near. I love his titles, and I love particularly that title, God Came Near. What a wonderful title. Think of how amazing the reality of this great truth would have been to the saints of old. The saints of old in the Old Testament, as we look carefully at what took place there, they served what theologians call a transcendent God. And by transcendent God, we mean distant because of sin and the separation of holiness from sin. We see all the way through the Old Testament that God was transcendent, that he was distant. So when Job said, if I could just speak with him, if I could just spend time with him, God appears to him in a whirlwind. And when Abraham seeks God out, God manifests himself in a smoking furnace, whatever that is. And Moses experienced God's glory first in a burning bush, and then in a pillar of fire. And when he asked later on for a closer look, oh, that I might see you, that I might be close to you, God saw fit to place him in the cleft of the rock. And as he passed by, he allowed Moses to see just a bit of his glory. When God made his presence known at the inauguration, as it were, of the temple ministry, the Shekinah glory that filled the temple was so great and so grand that the priests fled from his presence. And even as we read the story of the count in Luke chapter 2, when we think of the glory of when the glory of the Lord shone about the shepherds, when the heavens split open and God's glory was seen amongst the shepherds, we find that they were terribly, terribly frightened. But when these same shepherds came to the place where Jesus lay, their fears turned to joy, and they went away from that stable glorifying and praising God. For in that manger was God with us. The one who had spoken the world into being was a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. In the birth of Jesus, God came near. In the birth of Jesus, God was with us. With us as never before. With us as our example. With us to experience all things and to suffer and die, yet without sin. With us to bring salvation. With us to die for our sins as the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Once again, the hymn writer speaks, "We have beheld his glory. We have seen the light, anointed Prince of glory. We marvel at your sight." Now, finally, we see the wonderful truth that God is with us. God with us. Throughout this wonderful season, we have been studying in Matthew this wonderful theme for people like us. We've traced that theme to see just how amazing this theme is. Jesus came to save those fallen people who make up his genealogy. He came for the humble couple that delivered him. He came for the simple shepherds who visited him. He came for the wise men who traveled from afar to worship him. He came for sinners in need of a Savior. He came for people like us. The beauty of this caused Handel to put it this way: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." This God with us lived a perfect sinless life. And in the end, this God with us took the sins of all of us upon himself and died that we might live. He saved us, Titus 3, 5, and 6 says, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior. What a marvelous blessing this Christmas season is truly. For this Emmanuel, this God with us, came for people like us. Amen. Father, we thank you for the gift that is Jesus Christ, for the salvation that is freely given through the forgiveness of sins that comes from simply confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. Lord, we bring you glory this morning in this wonderful season, and on this eve of the celebration of your birth, we praise you. We praise you for the name of Jesus, for it is indeed the sweetest name of all. Grant that as we now sing and think about what we have heard, that we would be praising you for all the wonderful things you have done. It is in Emmanuel's precious name we ask these things. Amen.